And James ended us on chapter 33 and went over how Jacob and Esau kind of reunited after two decades, and showing how there was forgiveness between the two through all the strife and all the factors they went through. They were able to come together back as brothers. And it's kind of what set off Jacob leaving his homeland in the first place, was him and his brother feuding over the birthright. So Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. So Dinah's name meaning judged or acquitted. This was the daughter, this was Jacob's daughter through Leah. And we're later going to see that we know Leah wasn't Jacob's original pick of the litter, but Christ is actually a descendant through Leah. So she plays a very important role here, even though she wasn't necessarily Jacob's pick. Verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. So, first things first, Hivites were like a pre-Israelite group living in Canaan, living in that land. And after studying up on the Hivite people, a lot of biblical scholars and historical scholars believe that they were big worshipers on false idols, sun gods, lowercase g, so they were... they were full of basically false worship. And that title here, prince of the country, that title prince, tying back to Hamor, who was Shechem's dad, he was higher up in their governing system and in their city. And Shechem was also a prince through that inheritance from Hamor. So they were kind of honorable men for their own city and their own area. But what we're seeing Shechem do here, he seen Dinah and he defiled her. She was raped. He let his lust take over, and that's exactly what happened. So verse 3. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. So forcefully he has known Dinah, and now he's approaching her with more of a gentle touch. So now he took her by force, but those feelings are kind of growing, and we're going to cover it more here in a minute, but we got to remember, intimacy between a man and a woman is a part of that sacred bond from God, man and wife. So now that they knew each other, even though it's forcefully, he's starting to have more gentle and positive feelings for her. So verse 4. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. So now he took her by force. He's asking his father, set up a marriage for us. I want to get married. So he handled things. He let his lust take over, and he handled things completely wrong. So once again, something we have to remember is man and wife, that's a sacred covenant unto God. That includes partnership and intimacy in a marriage. And you don't have to flip there. I'll pull it up. But Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5 in Matthew, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So Jesus speaking here in Matthew, he's referencing back to Genesis chapter 2, specifically verse 24, where God's creating Adam and help meet. And this is back from in the beginning. Man and wife were always a sacred bond unto God. And Shechem defiling that, it kind of throws everything out of whack. But now he's starting to get those better feelings, but he took things forcibly. So something I want to hit on here, marriage being that covenant unto God, Shechem taking Dinah by force, I really want to go as far as to say that Satan most likely played a role in this behind the scenes, because we studied in the past where the serpent seed, Satan planting his seed, and once again, Dinah being a part of that lineage that Christ was a part of, kind of sounds to me like they were trying to interfere with the coming of Christ, trying to defile and corrupt that bloodline, So I just thought that was an interesting point to look at. But back to Genesis 34, verse 5. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they come. So I want to look at that word defiled, because we went over it again. But it defiled being tame in the Hebrew, to be foul or unclean, religious impurity. So Dinah now being unclean and having religious impurity, we know Jacob is a man of God, is part of Christ's lineage, and now her whole lineage from here on out is corrupted, it's defiled, it's tainted. He took that from her, Shechem did, by force. And once again, kind of showing how I believe this was Satan behind the scenes working, trying to corrupt that bloodline. Verse 6 in Genesis. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. So pay attention to Jacob's reaction here. He held his peace until the men came forward. His daughter had just been raped, but he is keeping his peace at this time. So you can only imagine what's kind of going through his head here, but he's showing his relationship and his obedience to God by not acting out of emotion, but keeping the peace, handling things the right way in this scenario. So verse 7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. So what does wrought folly mean? To make wicked or foolish. So he had made wicked or foolish in Israel. We know Jacob's blessed name from God is Israel, that lineage through which Christ will come. Once again, showing how that bloodline has been tainted and corrupted. So just reiterating that. Verse 8. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife. Longeth meaning loving. He's got feelings for her now. Verse 9. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. So not only is Hamor asking for Jacob and his family to give them Dinah for his son, but now he's requested marriage between both the tribes, intermingling between both the tribes. And in a minute we're going to go back to Genesis and show why, how, and the proper way that was to come. So verse 10, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. So Hamor's trying to kind of butter up this offering, showing all the assets to come if they were to intermingle tribes. But these were all worldly assets. We got to remember that God and Jacob already have a covenant of abundance, basically. He's got his assets. He's wealthy. So showing Hamor trying to kind of butter up the deal. So verse 11. And Shechem said unto her father, and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. So her father being Jacob here, Dinah's father. Remember, back then there was dowries in marriage. There was a payment to take place. So Shechem's telling Jacob and his sons, look, tell me what, name your price. Name your price. I have feelings for her. I want Dinah. You name your price, I'll pay you, so you will hand her over to me. But remember, she's already been corrupted. She's already been defiled. So he, even from the beginning, he's handled this situation completely wrong, letting that sin take over. Verse 12. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. So he's reiterating, don't hold back. Whatever you request, I'll give you for her. Verse 13. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. Pay attention to that word deceitfully there. We're going to come back to that. So another point I want to look at is Jacob never answered these men. His sons did, Dinah's brothers. So they are answering, they're speaking for their family, not the head of the family, but they're speaking deceitfully. So, verse 14. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that we're a reproach unto us. So what is he referencing here? He say, they're saying, we can't intermingle if y'all aren't circumcised. Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 10, well, let's read it, verses 10, 11, and 12. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep. This is between God and Abraham at the time. Between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So that circumcision showing, being that token of that covenant between God and his people. Verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. So if these men are willing to be circumcised, having that token of that covenant, and follow the ways of Jacob, the ways passed down from God to Abraham, and so forth, that they will be a part of that lineage. That is the proper way to do it. But remember, the sons requested this deceitfully. So let's keep going. Back to Genesis chapter 34, verse 15. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Verse 16. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. So as long as you live like we live, you're being circumcised, you're keeping that token of the covenant, you believe like we believe, you follow our guidance, we will accept you as our own. So in other words, you're keeping that covenant that we keep with God. They're merging, they're becoming one tribe. Verse 17. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. So if you're not willing to accept this, then we're taking ours and we're going on our way. We can't intermingle. Verse 18. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. So when I first read this, it kind of caught me off guard, because I'm like, the man that just defiled their daughter is the most honorable. But what it's referencing here is him being honorable in his oaths. He holds his promises. He's got a good reputation with sticking to his agreements. So, verse 20. And Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of the city, saying, remember, gate being like city hall, courthouse, it's where your legal hierarchies stay, basically. Verse 21. These men are peaceable with us. Let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. So they're presenting this to their city at this time. This is the deal. We're presenting it to you. Let's see how it goes. Verse 22. They're still presenting here. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised. This is a big token. It's a sacrifice of the flesh. So they're trying to present this to all the men of their city. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 23. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. So it's almost seeming like they're presenting this in a way of deception to Jacob and his people of, look, if we do this covenant, then all their assets will be ours too, and we'll be intermingling. But remember, they're trying to sell it to all the people of that their city, their tribe. So their sacrifice of the flesh in this way is a pretty big statement for an outsider, you know, who doesn't really understand the full covenant of God right now. And they're just trying to present it to others in a sort of a deceitful way. So verse 24. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. So all these men of this tribe or city, they were circumcised. They were following that agreement. Verse 25. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. So remember, Jacob's sons, they are the ones that presented this agreement to these men deceitfully. But we got to remember that we seen in Genesis that withholding this covenant was the proper way to do it. So really, these men would have been unto that seed. They would have been unto that covenant at that time. But Simeon and Levi, well, let's keep reading. Simeon and Levi took matters in their own hand. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. They killed all these men that were sticking to the covenant, had that token of the flesh, that sacrifice of the flesh, they slew them. Verse 27, the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. So not only did they kill all these men, but because they defiled Dinah, they completely defiled the whole city. Verse 28, they took their sheep, they took their oxen, they took their asses, and they that which was in the city, and that which was in the field. Verse 29, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and all their wives took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the houses. So they completely destroyed this city, took the wives and the children, locked them up, took them captive, and, I mean, everything that was left, they completely defiled it. Verse 30, and Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. Jacob was keeping quiet. He was keeping his peace to start with, but he never stepped in. His sons kind of took matters in their own hand, and the only thing that Jacob is worried about at this time is his image among other men. That's what he's worked up about. That's what he's chastising his sons about. Verse 31, and they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? So after all that's gone by, Jacob's worried about his image and his family's image, and among other tribes of men. And these men being circumcised and withholding the covenant, that was from God passed down. They would have been included in that seed, that lineage. So the opportunity to inherit both the ways and beliefs of Jacob's tribe, which was from God, these men lost. So they had the opportunity to worship Yahweh, the Most High God, and to carry on that covenant. And these men took it in their own hands and took that from them. But they did it in a way of deceitfully using the Word of God. So I was going to say, you know, the Word of God is our sword and our spiritual armor, but you can't use it deceitfully. There's a proper way to use that sword, to use the Word of God. You don't use it for your own vengeance or your own self-sin. And another thing is, you know, Shechem lets his lust overthrow him. All this started from lust over a woman. There was a proper way to handle it, and he went about it wrong. Marriage is a sacred covenant unto God. That's intimacy, that's partnership, that's coming together as one, that's all included. And when you take those things by force, no matter physically or mentally, that's corruption. That is corruption. So I just wanted to make a point there. Don't let lust or greed overthrow and blind you from doing the work from doing the true work that God has in store for us, but at the same time, don't manipulate God's story to use it to kind of overthrow others with your own personal sin, your own personal vengeance.